In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We perceive no separation between believers and unbelievers. All are mixed together on this earth. The weeds grow alongside the wheat. Bad fish are caught with the good fish. Believers and unbelievers live next to each other. They frequent the same stores, visit the same doctors. Their children play together. And yes, they even may attend the same church. Clothing is not definitive proof of who is who. Even morality doesn't help always. Prosperity certainly will not help. And so as we look at this world and the people in it, we don't see much of a separation. Perhaps a chasm is growing in our day. But then again, hypocrites will always be inside the church of God, so even that chasm is not conclusive. We perceive no separation. All are mixed together. Believers may end up in poverty, just as unbelievers. Wars claim the lives of both equally. Natural disasters, acts of terror, car accidents even claim the lives of both equally. As we look at this life and our lives, there seems to be no earthly advantage in being a Christian whatsoever. No one escapes this life unscathed. No one is free from sorrow or pain. We all know heartbreak. We've all been betrayed. We've all been slandered. We all have been embarrassed and have regrets. Some of it we brought upon ourselves. Some of it comes from others. But it really doesn't matter where it comes from because it hurts. It hurts equally. A mother who's lost her child to a drunk driver hurts. Even as a mother whose child has drowned in a pool hurts. And so we dare not judge others when it comes to pride, negligence, or even perversion. We are no better. If none of your children have drowned in your pool, it's not because you're a better, more diligent parent, but out of God's mercy, He has spared you from such sorrow. And yet you do have many other sorrows. You do carry around with you other embarrassments, other pain, those skeletons in the closet that if others just knew. So do not dare to judge others based on their sorrows or on their sufferings or even their blessings and prosperity. God gives to some and He withholds from others. And the line of demarcation is not between believers and unbelievers. He gives at His discretion, for the rain falls both on the righteous and on the wicked. As we look at this life, there seems to be no separation whatsoever between believers and unbelievers. And yet our King is coming back to make that separation evident to all. He returns not in wrath, but He returns in mercy. He returns to separate His believers from the unbelievers, to bring out His church from the world, the good sheep away from the goats. And then the mixture will end, and you shall see clearly the sheep from the goats. All suffering and sorrow and heartbreak will cease, all embarrassments and trouble will end. And you will rejoice to see your God and Savior descending on the clouds of heaven with the hosts of heaven in His train. There will be no pain, no sorrow, no fear, no terror on that last day. None, not even for a moment. But only pure, unadulterated joy as you hear the voice of your King calling to you, welcoming you home. And you hear playing the angelic orchestra, trumpeting the praises of your King and your God, and you forever in that chorus. And then you, the saints of God, you will judge even the angels. You will affirm and praise Christ's judgment and division as right and true. And there will be no sorrow. How wonderful it will be on that day to stand next to the saints of God. How wonderful to see our King. how wonderful to be gathered finally as the one church of God bought with the blood of Christ, brought out of every tribe, nation, language, and people. No more division. On earth, we are one with all believers. And yet, sadly, because of heresies, we cannot enjoy that fellowship. We are one with those in heaven, but sadly, because of death, we do not get to enjoy their fellowship either. But then, when all heretics and heresies and hypocrites are removed from the church, and even death itself is torn out, we shall stand together as one, one holy church, one family of God, with one God, one brother, one God, one Savior. We shall be with our brothers and sisters for all eternity to sing with those angels and to join their glorious song. And then you shall see just how Christ has made you holy and righteous and perfect. And you shall see just how Christ has made your fellow believers holy, righteous, and perfect. For you will be changed. Your body will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. But the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and you will be changed. Your body will be changed to be like Christ's glorious body, free from sorrow, pain, and suffering. For Christ comes in mercy to free you. He comes to separate you from the wicked, the good fish from the bad, the believers from the unbelievers. On this side of eternity, there is a separation. We just cannot perceive it with any of our senses. We are separated out from the number of the unbelieving. We just cannot understand it fully. We are separated by faith. The kingdom of God has come to you right here, right now. For the kingdom of God dwells within your heart. You need not wait for it to come on the last day. It is found within you. For Christ your King has come to you with all of his blessings to take up residence inside you. You are his. And so do not judge others based on the sorrows and sufferings they go through, not even within this congregation. Do not judge others based on their prosperity or blessings, but solely based on Christ. He was innocent, and yet he was counted as guilty. He was perfect, and yet he is the one who is forsaken and separated from that loving and gracious God. He is separated from eternal life so that his church might never be separated from that life. He, our very God and Savior, he is counted among the dead so that we may stand among the living on that last and glorious day. We are one with Christ. Raised in the font, God has brought you into the ark of his holy church. He has separated you out of the number of the unbelieving by faith, so that you may be preserved dry and secure in the holy ark of his Christian church, to serve his name at all times, joyful in spirit and certain of the hope of a glorious life with him. And he continues to ride to you again and again and again, coming to you in blessed bread and wine to bring that kingdom into your heart, to strengthen and fortify you against all the devil's attacks. And so you have been judged already. You have been judged as righteous because of Christ. The only difference between now and the last day is on the last day this will be publicly declared to all people, both the living and the dead, and all shall see you as the righteous children of God. And then Christ will praise you for your works. Your works did not earn you salvation, not in the least. Your works did not create or sustain your faith, but your good works are signs of your faith. They are the fruit of faith, albeit imperfect signs. And you will be surprised at all the good works Christ praises you for on that last day. You will stand there and listen as he praises you for giving him food and drink, hospitality and clothing, good things, and bad things, or good things, excuse me. And you will be stunned by all the good works he has found in your life. When, Lord, you will say, when? When did we do such things? All my righteous acts are nothing more than filthy rags. When? The good I wanted to do, I did not do. When? For every single thing I have done is tainted and smeared with sin. Nothing is perfect, nothing is good, nothing is right. When? But then the king will say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. You are citizens of my heaven, because I have taken away and borne your sin and put on you my perfect righteousness. And so shall you in faith ever stand before Christ, clothed with the blessings and the love of Christ. All those good works we read of Christ doing in the Holy Scriptures, every single last one of them, are credited to you. And you stand before God, your Father, God, your Savior, holding those works in your hands. And Christ praises you for the things that he has done for you. And on top of it, he takes your works, he takes you and he scrubs you with his holy blood to drive out all sin. He restores you and he purifies your good works so that they too are holy and righteous in God's sight. So yes, in Christ you do abound in every good work. It's not surprising, or it's surprising when you look at yourself, but it's not surprising when you look at Christ, and you are judged based on Christ, not based on yourself. Everything you do for him. Whatever you did for one of the least of these people sitting around you, or even those people you meet in your lives, you do for Christ. And that changes your perspective of everything that you do. For every good work that you do, the love you show to your children, the care you give to your spouse, even supporting and praying for your governmental officials, all of it is not done for them, but for Christ. You are constantly serving Christ in your daily life. The works of believers and unbelievers look no different. You don't have to be a good, moral, upstanding, perfect person outwardly by going to church. You don't need to come here to be a loving, hard-working person. But you do need to come to be saved. We see no difference between the works of men and the works of God, and yet Christ sees a tremendous difference. He sees you standing before him holding his works. He sees everything that you do as covered with his blood. And so you are different. You are separate. You may not perceive it with your eyes or with your feelings, but Christ sees it, and he is your judge. And those who stand on his left, it doesn't matter if they gave millions of dollars to charity, it is sinful and it condemns them. For a good work is not something that benefits society, but it is whatever is done out of faith. A good work is not something that is beneficial to us, but it is whatever is done out of faith for Christ. And so it doesn't matter if mom gets up in the middle of the night to rock her crying child to sleep. Without faith, it condemns her. For as Scripture says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so without faith, all works condemn. Christ is coming on the last day to judge both the living and the righteous, to separate the sheep from the goats and the righteous. On earth, we see no discernible difference. The righteous and the wicked go through the same things. There seems to be no earthly benefit in being a Christian. All struggle. All suffer. All have good things in their life. There seems to be little benefit. And yet for us, we do not view these things with the mind or with our own eyes, but we view them with the eyes of Christ. We view them as God sees them. And so we live by faith, not by sight. God doesn't do this to be mean, allowing us to go through sufferings, but he does it out of mercy. He does it so that we may have his peace. so that we may look away from the things of this world and toward his home in heaven, which he has made ours in Christ. Not wanting us to perish, but to flee to him in repentant faith, he even allows lawless men who persecute his church and harass us to enter into our lives. He does it out of mercy, so that the heaven that he has won for us might be ours, and we live by faith, not by sight. So persevere. Persevere with whatever is in your life, both the bad and also the good. Do not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows, but persevere through the good and the bad. For nothing in all creation can separate you from God, for you have already been judged by Christ as righteous and holy because of him. So persevere, for your King is coming soon to make this separation evident to all. He is coming soon for you. And then you shall see him. And then every sin, every sorrow, every pain, every heartbreak will melt away like the dew in the morning sun. And you shall inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.